Hello again, church. It's so wonderful to be back with you for our third message on the Feasts of the Lord, the Passover Feasts of the Lord. There are actually four spring feasts. I know I've taught you this, but I'm just putting you in remembrance. There is, first of all, Passover. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and then 50 days later is the Feast of Pentecost. And so together these four make up the spring feasts. And then later on in the fall, beginning with September, October, we have the three fall feasts. All of them tell the redemptive story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ redeeming us back to God. And this serves as a pattern for us to follow in our lives. So the feasts help us understand our salvation experience. Every year, when during the time of the feast, we take time to go back to the word of the feast, it helps us understand our salvation experience and strengthens it in us to review it. And this was the method of teaching that the early apostles used. Passover should be a constant reminder to us that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This should become as familiar to you and as natural for you to believe that you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb as when you take your next breath. We're no longer slaves of Satan and sin, but we are children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, today, I want to share with you about the second feast of the Passover Moeds, and it is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In Exodus 12, verses 31 through 39, I'm going to read scripture that specifically pertain to this. Remember, Passover originally unfolded, the original Passover, in the book of Exodus. And that's why we go back to when the children were redeemed from being slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and Moses led them out of Egyptian captivity. And so in Exodus 12 and verse 31, then he, Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both of you, and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." So Pharaoh knew that Moses had power, and it was the power of the living God. All the gods of Egypt were defeated by the power of our God, and Pharaoh, I know he feared what the next judgment would be. But let's continue reading in verse 33. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. So it's not only that Pharaoh told the children of Israel to leave, but the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We shall all be dead," or "We shall all die. If you don't leave us, we're all going to die." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. In other words, church, they had to pack quickly. Now, the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So the children of God that were being redeemed, the children of Israel, they were redeemed quickly and left Egypt, but they did not leave Egypt empty-handed with nothing. They plundered the Egyptians, and they took silver, they took clothing, they took articles of gold. The Egyptians just wanted the Israelites gone because of all the suffering they had endured because of the curses that had come upon them. Then the children of Israel journeyed, beginning with verse 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. So, church, what these scriptures tell us is that Pharaoh's hardness of heart was finally broken by the death of his firstborn. And then throughout Egypt, the firstborn was dead in all those many homes. And so he told the Israelites, get out and get out now. And so they left very quickly. Even some Egyptians went with them. They were part of the mixed multitude in verse 38. And they did not have time for their dough to rise. And so they cooked unleavened bread. Now we'll have an understanding of what that means. These scriptures are the basis for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread starts the very next day after Passover, and it lasts 7 days. Deuteronomy 6:16 verse 3 helps us understand this more clearly. It says, do not eat it, it is the Passover lamb, with bread made with yeast. But for 7 days, eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember. See, we're to remember these things, the time of your departure from Egypt. And so the eating of course, the Passover lamb is very important, but also the eating of unleavened bread is very significant during this Passover feast time. Leaven, church, in the Bible is always a symbol of sin. Leaven, or sin, spreads. In other words, when bread dough has leaven in it, it rises and rises. the same is true of sin. Where sin is present in a person's life, it spreads. It not only spreads and gains more and more control of your life, but it can begin to spread into a whole family. It can spread into a whole church, and it can spread into a whole nation. And so this tells us that with God, sin is a very serious issue. And we are to be aware that when we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, there is something we're going to have to be very aware of the presence of, and that is sin. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. So church, sin is not anything we want to play around with or be casual about sin, because here is the characteristic of sin that makes it like leaven. Sin spreads. Fathers, you may think that, and our mothers, but you may think there's something you're doing and it's just affecting you. No, it's affecting your wife. It's affecting your children. And Father, if you cut off that sin, if you remove leaven or you remove sin, what you are doing is you're blessing your family. You are blessing your generations. But if you have the idea, I want a new wife, in our tradition, it is acceptable if we have several wives and so on and so forth. Or it could be sin has many faces, whatever that sin is. What the Feast of Unleavened Bread teaches us, they were going to depart from Egypt. They were not to take any leaven with them. In other words, we are to cut off sin from our life and not have the thinking, well, everyone else is doing it. It's the tradition of our fathers, and so on and so forth. No, we're to be ruthless with cutting off sin, and very determined to not pass on sin so that it keeps spreading to the next generation, and even before you know it, a whole nation is overtaken by sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a reminder of the Israelites' hasty departure from Egypt. We learn they did not have time to put leaven in their dough and let that rise. No, they left with unleavened bread, which represents their hasty departure from slavery and bondage. Jesus has delivered us out of the bondage of sin. And we're not to go back into that sin and be compromised with it. The Israelites left quickly because Pharaoh feared more plagues would be released if he didn't let them go. And all the Egyptians had suffered greatly. And the people of Egypt were desperate for the Israelites to leave their land. And the Israelites greatly desired their freedom from Egyptian bondage. So this was a time of haste. I pondered this feast this year, and I sensed something to say. about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we want to let this speak to all of our hearts. Don't tarry in the place of sin. Don't linger in the place of sin. Don't continue with attitudes of sin. Don't continue with unforgiving attitudes. You know, it's really easy to have an attitude. I just can't forget what they did to me. I just can't forgive them for how they've treated me. And oh my goodness, that opens the door for not only you to be tormented, but for you to contaminate others with that attitude of sin, whatever it may be, an angry attitude, an unforgiving attitude, a spiteful attitude. It could be not controlling yourself, giving over to fleshly displays of sin. Notice when they partook of the Passover lamb, they had to depart from Egypt in haste. Let us be hasty in departing from sin. Can someone say amen? In other words, to understand the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're not to have any leaven in our lump. Does that mean we're perfect? No, we need the blood of Jesus every day. But I do not compromise. We do not compromise with attitudes and words and actions that are, we know, are sinful and do not line up with the Word of God. I'll tell you something I've had to get used to. You know, I lived in Kenya for 32 years, and I was, Pastor Wade and I didn't even have a TV when we got married, and just not too long before we came to Kenya, someone said, "You don't have a TV?" And they showed up at our house with just a little, small, black and white TV. So, you know, I can say for decades, I wasn't really exposed to a lot of things that are just out in the open now, such as cursing. And there were words we were familiar with, and we knew they were bad words, and our thinking was good people don't use those words. That's just the way we were raised. But I'll tell you, a lot of those quote-unquote bad words are just common now, commonly spoken. And I'm not talking about in church, but I'm talking about in the public arena of America. People aren't even conscious of their words and what they're saying. And so, whether it's your thoughts, your attitudes, your words, the way you treat people, the way you do business, we're to depart from sin, and we do it hastily. One of the major things to understand about the Feast of Unleavened Bread is that our lives are not to be leavened with sin, where we say, "I'm a Christian, But, you know, we live with our boyfriend or we live with our girlfriend. I even heard about one pastor who, when couples come to him and say, we're living together now, we may get married, but we're going to live together first. He blesses them, and they live together. Church, that's living. That casual attitude toward intimacy that is ordained for marriage, but that casual attitude that has even entered parts of the church is leaven, and we are to hastily depart from sin. This is so important for us to understand as Passover. We don't leave Egypt and take Egypt with us and the attitudes of Egypt with us. Don't continue in sinful relationships. Don't continue in acts of sin. Don't continue compromising who you're intended to be in Christ. Psalm 34, verses 14 through 16 says, depart from evil and do good. Now, this is the lesson of unleavened bread. This is the lesson that the children were to understand as they departed from Egypt. This is for all of us. Psalm 34, 14 through 16. Depart from evil and do good. This is unleavened bread. You're born again. For example, Passover is about being born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is about now we depart from Egypt. We depart from sin. I don't come, get born again, and continue in sin. Someone shout hallelujah. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In other words, you'll never walk in the favor of God if you continue to do evil after you're born again. Receiving Jesus means you are departing supernaturally from that old life. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness, and you're born again into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We do not continue in evil once we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And then it continues, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Church, when the Feast of Unleavened Bread is that we are conscious of the fact that as born-again Christians, we are called to be the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the heart of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We leave the old. We depart from Egypt. We do not take Egypt with us. Now, the sad thing is, and you read as you continue reading in the scriptures, and You get to the book of Joshua, you see that they had taken a lot. They still had a lot of Egypt in their heart. They were not obedient. In fact, they wandered 40 years, about a 12-day journey across the desert. Instead of taking that 12-day journey into the promised land, they were in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not understand. I've been delivered out of Egypt, and now I will follow God. Oh, the human heart, if we will only submit it to God and tell Him, Lord, I am yours. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I open my heart to the kingdom of God. Come into my heart and live in me and dwell in me. And if we continue being surrendered to the Lord, we will live out of the kingdom of God instead of so much living in the world. Yes, I'm in the world and so on and so forth, but in my heart, I'm following after God and His kingdom. And this is what this is the message of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After I receive Jesus, I do not continue in my same old anger and bitterness and hopelessness and despair. I don't continue lying and deceiving and cheating and continuing on in the ways of the world. Oh, no, I hastily depart from that to serve the living God. Depart from evil and do good. Everyone, let's say that together. Depart from evil and do good. This is the message of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what do we learn from this? Passover speaks of the Lord's death. So now we come from Exodus, the first Passover, where the moeds of Passover were instituted in Exodus. Now we come to the Lord's death on Calvary. He is our Passover lamb. Hallelujah. The Feast of Unleavened Bread proclaims that now this is very important. I pray for utterance to make this clear. The Feast of Unleavened Bread proclaims that the physical body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would not experience corruption in the grave. Because there was no leaven or yeast or sin in him. Church, there was no sin in him. When he died upon the cross, he was the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God who took upon himself the sin of the world. It was placed upon him. He bore our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. He took it upon himself, but it was never in his nature and character. He was sinless and he was spotless, the only one in all creation worthy to bear our sins. And so, church, all I can say is, what a Savior. The Feast of Unleavened Bread speaks of Christ's sinlessness. He had no leaven in him. There was no sin in him. First Peter 1, 18 through 20. In the New Living Translation says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere silver, gold, or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. Church, it was first announced in Genesis 1:14. Long before the world began, but now in these last days, he, Jesus, has been revealed for your sake. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, this is the New King James Version. It says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So, church, this is a time of examination. This calls us to the removal of sin, to a new life in Christ Jesus. And these can be sins that are inward sins. It could be thoughts, imaginations. It could be attitudes and strongholds of actually lies in our life. These strongholds lie to us. They lie to us about ourselves. They lie to us about others. But we are called to examine ourselves. Am I repentant for inward sin? Am I repentant about trouble I'm causing other people? It may be a wife troubling her husband, or a husband troubling her wife, or all the relationships. No, church, we are called to love. We are called to unity. And we're to examine, is there any leaven? Remember, leaven or yeast represents sin that grows and affects many. We're called to examine our lives. Is there anything in me, Father? I examine my attitudes. I examine my thoughts and my imaginations. I want to be a new lump. We do this during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, Jewish mothers and grandmothers would go through their house and they would remove anything that had yeast in it. That became a tradition because they were conscious that the presence of yeast represented the presence of sin in their lives. No, we have new life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and it is a life of love. It is a life of truth, and it is a life of unity. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread calls for the removal of sin and walking in newness of life and purity of life. This can call for radical changes in our lives, but we just like the Israelites did, they moved out of Egypt. We move out of the presence of sin. During this time, we examine ourselves because we are called to purity. I don't care if all your girlfriends are living with their boyfriends. You understand you are not called to live with your boyfriend before marriage. I don't care, you know, what the expression of sin may be. Jesus Christ our Lord is the righteousness of God, and we are called to a life of purity and righteousness in Him. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread is an important feast. Church, in the book of Exodus, they were redeemed out of Egypt, and we are redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son to live for Him in purity. Everyone say amen. And so that is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were to leave Israel in haste, or they were to leave Egypt in haste. So they had no yeast in their bread. They left in haste. And we too are depart from Egypt or sin in haste. I pray this word about the Feast of Unleavened Bread has blessed you. And now let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for the understanding you give us about the Feast of Passover. And we thank you for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we are not to live as the world lives, but we are not to have yeast or leaven in our lives producing sin. But our lives are to be an expression of holiness unto the Lord and to others. Father, I pray for our continued sanctification, that we would walk as your holy, upright people, displaying your goodness, displaying your purity. And Father, I just thank you for giving everyone ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to them as an individual of the putting away of sin. And Lord, we thank you and we love you as our Passover lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. I have one more message for you on First Fruits. God bless you.